Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
You know, I spoke with Nikhil. Did he have a good game? Yes, he did. That one play overshadowed the production that he did have. He would be the first person to tell you that he knows that's unacceptable.
Dale Arnold.
But you're going to need Kemba Walker to play better. With Jason Tatum, you simply need him to finish.
But we need to handle it better.
You can see it. They heart start pumping Kool-Aid.
Rich Keefe.
Very disappointed, and we're on to Carolina now.
We're on to Cincinnati.
But they are who we thought they were.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Not that I know anything about wind currents or, you know, meteorology or anything here.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Our buddy Andy Hart from WEEI.com is in the house. Pats and Seahawks, Sunday night football in Seattle. It appears, based on what Pete Carroll said yesterday on his media session with the New England media, the expectation is that the weather is going to change to a degree that they're not going to be as concerned about the air quality on Sunday night. They did move their practice indoors yesterday, because they said it was just too unhealthy to practice outside yesterday out there.
Yeah, Bill made the same sort of comments this morning. We just heard a little snippet of it that he made it clear that he's not projecting this, but the geniuses around him, so to speak, are projecting that by late in the week, everything should be okay.
Al Caprillion.
Who?
Weather with Al?
He was the best.
You remember Al Caprillion? No.
Fabio Fabrizi down in Providence?
No, I don't know about that.
We have to.
Al Caprillion's the best.
You got to find some Al Caprillion, because I promise you
it exists.
Right, high temperatures.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Love Weather Al. He came to my school once.
Did he?
Yeah, told us all about clouds. It was great.
Talked to you a lot about Mount Washington, I bet.
Cumulonimbus clouds?
He loved Mount Washington.
Wow. Sure. He was great. Guy was the man.
He was a weather legend.
I don't know.
No, you guys are saying was.
TBD.
Was this,
well,
was.
No,
I remember
on,
watching him.
I don't think he's on the air anymore.
He's on the Winds, WNDS. He'd come on and he would jump in before some show and tell you about the, he had like a crazy voice. He was a real goofball, that guy.
Okay, good.
But Pete also talked about they're going to run the ball a lot more. Did you hear that? That was one of the things that he was upset with, even though they threw it all over the place.
God forbid your quarterback goes, 31 of 35?
Yeah,
and 40.
Yeah.
He was like perfect. He had like nearly a perfect game. He threw, I think, 9 different receivers.
Wouldn't
caught
it be
passes.
Great if the Seahawks come out, run it like 45 times.
And the Patriots
come out slinging it all over the field.
Oh, good.
Although, I think they're playing right into the Patriots' hands if they decide to run it.
I hope they do. I hope they do.
Which is probably why he's saying it, because he's giving Bill the okie-doke.
First play of the game, shotgun empty, deep to Metcalf.
Uh-huh.
So, in fact, Bill Belichick today, he didn't do his media session yesterday because of the passing of his mom. He was back this morning, and he was talking about Russell Wilson. And I get a kick out of this because I think most people think Russell Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in football, certainly one of the best players in football. He can do everything. And yet Bill, when he was talking to the media today, said it's actually possible that you and me and the fans are underrating Russell Wilson.
This guy's a tremendous player. Honestly, I think he's, you know, in a way maybe underrated by the media or the fans. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't really see anybody better than this player. He can do everything. He's got, obviously, great leadership, playmaking skills. He plays very well in the most critical situations in the game with his decision-making. His passing numbers are extraordinary. You put him up against anybody since he's been in the league, literally anybody, in almost any category, or in any category, really. You know, his winning percentage is impressive. He's there for every game, never missed a game.
Mr. Unlimited.
A little shot at Brady in there.
Oh, literally anybody.
There's no other quarterback I'd rather have than Russell Wilson.
He's actually right about him being underrated because we've talked about how it's insane that
Patrick Mahomes league now, and it's Aaron Rodgers.
But he's never received an MVP vote.
It's the silliest statistic.
Like, most unbelievable thing I have ever heard.
Like, really not that he's never won. Okay, there's usually a year where a guy pops off and throws 50 touchdowns or whatever, or a team goes 15-1. Okay, fine. He's the most consistent guy. He and Brady are similar in that sense where every year they play and they win. Everybody else kind of goes up and down. Even Drew Brees. Like, look at Drew Brees. Up and down, losing seasons in there.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson always wins and always puts up monster stats, but didn't have the Matt Ryan year, and then he wins. Doesn't have the Lamar Jackson year, he wins. But not even a vote. So in that sense, Bill's right. He probably is underrated. He's also the only player besides Mahomes. I think Mahomes is the best, but the only other player I'd even hear an argument for as who's the best player in the NFL. I think it's either Mahomes or Russell Wilson.
And the thing that I always say that gives him potentially the notch above Mahomes right now, Mahomes has played with a great coach and great weapons for his first 3 years. Like, he has.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
whereas Russell Wilson, spot. I feel like every year we're talking about
he's
what
do
they
need.
He's
had a real good coach, though.
No, he's had a very good coach, but they're always, oh, their line stinks. Yeah, they got to go get Dwayne Brown, or they got to go. He's got no receivers. He's got no running backs. There seems like there's always something with him that he's overcoming, and he always overcomes it. And that's where. And also the visuals. Like, everybody thinks that Mahomes is the only guy that can make the wow plays in the end.
Yeah.
I still say the roll left throw back left corner of the end zone to Tyler Lockett last
year
may have been the greatest throw I've ever seen in my life.
Pretty
for
sick
a
catch
righty.
Too.
It is a sick catch, but going to your left and throwing as a right-handed quarterback and putting it literally on a dime in the back corner of the end zone.
And he's also changed the game as much as maybe even more so than Drew Brees as far as allowing teams to say, you know what, that quarterback might not be 6'5". But we can take them and we can win with them. And, you know, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and some of these guys don't get drafted where they get drafted if it wasn't for Russell Wilson's success.
And we also put him on a pedestal. He has become the measuring stick for how to run intelligently. Everybody always says, you know, you want Lamar Jackson to learn to run like Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Pick his spots, definitely. Get down, get out of bounds, but still take the plays when they're available. Uh-huh. I think the Patriots probably this year will want Cam Newton to run like Russell Wilson, make the right reads. It's a give, it's a give, it's a give. Nope, it's a keeper this time because no one's going to touch
him. In a way, he's kind of like out Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers has the same type of game, or he's capable of it, where he's not necessarily looking to run all the time, but he's mobile. Like, he can move, unlike Brady, unlike Manning and those guys, but he's super accurate. And Wilson is that, but a little bit more dangerous with the legs. And I think your point, too, about the weapons around him, because that's such a huge conversation on here with Cam Newton, is pretty telling. Who do you think that the guys that he has thrown the most touchdown passes to in his career? Again, Brady has, Gronk, Randy Moss. I don't know who's third on that list. Maybe Edelman or Welker or somewhere like that. The list for Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, he has thrown the most touchdown passes to. I would say a good receiver, never an all-pro.
No.
Just a guy.
Tyler Lockett is on his way up. He's very good. Yep. But again, not all-pro. And then it's past his prime Jimmy Graham, Golden Tate, Luke Wilson, and Jermaine Kearse.
Yeah.
No, those are the guys you throw the most touchdown passes
that
to.
That is an unbelievable. That is like if Tom Brady's list was all Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah, he does more with less.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing you mentioned, the sort of skills comparison to Aaron Rodgers, the difference is Aaron Rodgers was always in the – it was Brady and Manning are the best quarterback, but the most talented is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think Bill's point is – no one ever says Russell Wilson is the best quarterback. They never say he's the most talented quarterback. Now, you can argue because he's not, because Patrick Mahomes is more talented.
Yeah, I still
than
go
him.
With Mahomes, but you're right.
He's also been around longer than Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no one ever, 4 years ago, were people saying Russell Wilson's the most talented quarterback in football? No, because it was Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
He's always played second fiddle. I will say the one thing that makes me laugh here, and you guys know this from interviewing Bill over the years, had you said, Bill, it doesn't seem like Russell Wilson, you know, ranks among the best with he'd say, I don't know about rankings. I'm not sure where people... But when he brings it up, it's okay to say he doesn't get the respect he deserves.
If you had to win one game today in the NFL, and I'll give you that Mahomes is the quarterback you'd select, Would you take Russell Wilson over Lamar Jackson? Because I would.
I'd take him over Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you give me him.
I don't know if I'd go ahead.
If you put him on the Chiefs.
Oh, he does.
See, that's where I get into the weapons thing.
He would be the greatest quarterback to have ever touched the football field.
Right. So if I don't know who my team is, if this is done in the dark, I'm taking Wilson. Because for a decade, I've seen him win with something.
So
whatever you gave him, whether it was Marshawn Lynch or this guy at running back, that guy at receiver, that
he doesn't even need a lead to win. Half the time, he's losing at halftime, and he still wins.
I love him. Like, is there anything to dislike about him?
He's corny.
So am I.
I'm all right.
Okay, I dislike you.
I mean, did you even see his kid? Could his kid have looked any cuter in full uniform?
Eye black?
So now that's not even his kid.
Now I'm taking him because he has a cute kid?
It's 100% his kid. Doing? It looks just like him. It looks like Mini-Me.
It's Future's kid.
Why are we doing this?
There's no chance.
Oh, come on.
Did you look at the kid? It's Russell Wilson Mini-Me.
So in an expansion draft for one season, he'd be the number one pick?
One-season draft.
Obviously, Mahomes is younger, so that skews the argument a different direction. But
Lamar Jackson's younger. I understand all that.
But he's not washed up. What is he, 31? 32?
He's 32 or
so in the modern NFL.
He's 10 years younger than Tom Brady.
So he'll be 32 in November.
So he's got 6 good years left after this one, I would say. Right, 38.
You've
got to
be unlimited.
He's got unlimited
potential.
He
wants to play until he's 40.
Well, he says 45.
45.
Yeah, that may be ridiculous.
He'll be there a long time.
But he's got 6 good years left in him, I would think. And he doesn't get hurt. Bill mentioned that today.
It is
amazing. He never misses time.
And like obviously, we've seen it following Tom Brady, but it's just, the fact that he's never had a losing record is so insane. And it was for Brady, and it remains to be insane for Brady. But like jumping in as a rookie and as a third-round pick, you remember Seattle signed Matt Flynn to this huge money because Matt Flynn like played pretty well. Remember he smoked the Pats when he was the backup there in Green Bay. And so he signs for – but then he beats them out in camp and has started every single game since and has had 1 9-win season. Everything else has been 10 or more. It just it's insane. And if he doesn't throw that pick to Malcolm Butler – he has 2 Super Bowls.
Which puts him ahead of all the other one ring
goes peeps. Ahead of everybody. And I mean, he still probably has another Super Bowl left in him. Now, they're not as talented as they've been, though. Seattle isn't. Like, Seattle used to have a monster defense. They don't.
Well, I mean, we'll see where it evolves.
They did have to blow up the Legion of Boom, didn't they?
They had to blow those guys
up.
But,
I mean, you still have Jamal Adams, the addition.
They brought
him have 2 Hall of Famers on that defense right now. Bobby Wagner and probably Jamal Adams.
Wow.
Belichick made the point about Adams today. He said they ran more safety blitzes than any team we saw all of last year, and it was all because of him.
Well, I thought the most interesting thing was, and this is big for Belichick to sort of admit, he said he thinks they did because on some plays with Jamal Adams, you can't tell if it's a blitz or if he's just that quick, read it that quick, and he reacted that quick.
Yeah.
And
that's crazy.
I mean, that's a massive compliment for him. And DK Metcalf. If DK Metcalf is, you know, an all-pro this year, well, now the talent around him, like if Lockett becomes his go-to guy but's a 2, because they clearly have a thing, he and Lockett are.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's your Edelman and Brady or whatever you want to call it. But if you put DK Metcalf as the Moss, the big play guy, and now you talk about the defense with Wagner, because I did think it was interesting, John, I've never heard Bill sort of, it's almost like he picked out the Killer Bees, this 3-man tag team to describe Seattle.
You know, you look at the guys that really are, to me, the big 3 out there. It's Pete, it's Wilson, and Wagner.
I've never heard him do that.
Wow.
And there's been other teams where it was obvious who the offensive guy was, who the defensive guy was, and who's the coach. He loves him. Some Pete Carroll. They
have
are
a good
on a different level.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys
also
remember.
Also want to wish Pete a belated happy birthday. glad to see that he's just staying a little bit ahead of me there. So I don't have the distinction of being the oldest coach in the league. But anyway, and you know, always happy to see another fellow Croatian do well, just not against us, like Coach Saban.
Oh, so Pete Carroll's Croatian,
big Tony Kukoc guy.
I did not know that. Yeah.
So we should look into that because if Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, and Pete Carroll, now basketball, I'm not sold on, but football coaches, the 3 best coaches, arguably right now.
So we should go over there and start scouting.
Yes.
If you're Robert Kraft, you go over there right now.
Who's replacing Belichick?
Some Croatian guy.
Croatian
hopefully.
Guy that I'm going to find that's coaching right now.
Whatever 12-year-old has the most command in the backyard football game.
Get him over here now.
It is, by the way, a mutual admiration society. When Pete Carroll spoke with the New England media yesterday, he began by obviously expressing his condolences to the Belichick family and the loss of Bill's mom, Jeanette. But through the years, these two guys have just spoke glowingly about each other.
Yeah, do you remember the Friday pre-Super Bowl thing they did where it was like a sit-down between the two of them on stage? And it was just, I mean, yeah. Their feet were rubbing together. It was awkward
how love.
Much they loved each other.
Yeah.
And obviously they have that shared experience, history with not just longstanding coaches and all that, but the Patriot thing mm-hmm. and him replacing Carroll with the Patriots and some of that. But he clearly, I did think it was a little, like, there's only two ways for him to, quote, stop keeping up ahead of him in the coaching ranks, right? He either retires or he dies.
Yes, Andy.
That's sort of a somber fact.
That's the joke.
It was trying to make a funny
I never
there.
Get Bill's jokes. Yeah, well, I very rarely get Bill's jokes.
He noticed that about you, by the way, over the years.
Yes, I never laugh at
his
jokes.
That guy never gets the jokes.
I don't.
We'll see you out in Seattle.
No, you won't. The only people that are going are the Boston Globe and WBZ. No media is traveling, so you won't see any of them.
617-779, yeah, 617-779-7937, Matt's in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, with Belichick was giving rave reviews to Russell Wilson, he did everything short of calling him Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, no, imagine if he did that.
Well, he is a pitch man himself now, so they know
yeah,
how those things
that's
work.
That's true.
So anyway, I really do think Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Last week, 28 for 28. On passes, other than targets to DK Metcalf, but as you were saying, Keith, in comparison to Aaron Rodgers, like Wilson makes the play like when he has to, and Rodgers does it kind of when he's like wants to show off. If you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
But
yeah.
No, I haven't had a Patrick Mahomes, and just keep in mind that Atlanta did have 500 yards of total offense last week against Seattle, so I don't think that Seattle defense is that great, but. Yeah, the Seattle offense is cooking. So,
yeah, Seattle offense is always dangerous just because of Wilson. I mean, he's proven that. And the defense, we'll see. I mean, they do have a couple of studs, as Shime alluded to, a couple of studs there. But I think, I don't know, I think you still think Seattle Seahawks defense and you think it's a lot better than it is.
Right, and there's been a lot of talk of the system. I know Jed Fish talked a lot about it yesterday because he actually coached in Jacksonville with, what's his name, the guy who came from Seattle, I'm drawing a blank now, but yeah,
Gus Bradley,
and how that system has really taken off, and there's like 8 or 9 teams that run it in the NFL now, because it works so well, they have so much confidence in it. Couple things I will say, like, yeah, Atlanta put up a ton of yards, well, they have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin, they had 300 100-yard receiver. Like, you're built completely differently than the Atlanta Falcons.
You don't have
completely
that.
Completely differently. And
but still, even if you throw for half of the yards that the Falcons threw for, it's still more than you threw against Miami.
And you may need to if you're
You're going to have to.
And then the other thing, the comparison with Aaron Rodgers, to me, Aaron Rodgers is more like Mahomes because I do believe both those guys sometimes just do stuff to show that they can do stuff. Throw off the back foot and
no look pass.
Turn this way.
You don't really have to do it that
where
way.
Where Wilson, if you watch him, when he doesn't need to be, he's fundamentally sound. He's a pocket passer, back foot, good platform, as they say.
Yeah.
And then when he needs to roll left, throw left, do something silly, he can. But I don't feel like he does it just to prove that he can, ever.
We talked about what Bill said about Pete Carroll. Do you guys think Pete Carroll's one of the best coaches in the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I mean, the longevity and the consistency. Like
we're talking about the winning seasons, like nonstop winning seasons. Yeah. That's hard to do. Like
and
Sean
I know
Payton,
he has
Sean
Wilson.
Sean Payton gets a lot of credit, but Sean Payton is not always.
I'm not a Sean Payton guy because he has
he
Drew
was a
Brees.
Flash in the pan, wasn't he?
Well, no, not really because he's like here and then there and then they got screwed
that's what
on
I'm
that
saying.
Call.
He gets this great, oh my God, look at this. And then it's
yeah, but I guess he's had a few flashes.
Right,
is how I would look at it. Like,
but then no consistency.
No, it's all over the place.
And he should. Right. What's his quarterback's name? Remind me.
It'd be Hall of Famer Drew Brees.
Drew Brees. He should like because I can say Pete Carroll has Russell Wilson, so that helps him be consistent.
Yeah. Sure.
But usually the good coaches have a good. Bill Belichick had Tom Brady for 20 years.
Oh yeah.
Joe Montana, Bill Walsh. We can go down the list. You need a good quarterback to win consistently.
Yeah, I think Carroll.
But Peyton is the counterexample.
Right.
Sometimes even when you have the good quarterback, you have that 6-10 or 7-9 mixed in there. And again, they are very close to being great too. You mentioned if Wilson doesn't throw the pick to Butler.
Oh, it's another Super Bowl, yeah.
But the Saints are the miracle in Minneapolis away.
They got screwed on that.
They got screwed on the call, so there's a couple runs there.
Yeah,
but they also seem to, I mean, somebody was telling me the other day in Houston, in New Orleans, they call it like the no-show last postseason. Like, it's known as the no-show because they didn't show up in the playoffs. Remember when?
Oh, yeah, and then Drew Brees didn't even seem upset about it. It was really weird.
It was very, very weird. Yeah. And so that's why I wouldn't. Yeah, I think Pete Carroll
he's up there with, like, Andy Reid. And
yeah.
To me, I'm a big John Harbaugh guy. Like, there's a lot of good. Those are the best guys.
And doesn't it seem, though, the pass that Butler picked off, Russell Wilson gets no blame for it. Well, it's all Pete Carroll's fault.
Did Butler pick it off or Matt Patricia?
Matt Patricia's a different story. One of the greatest fourth quarter calls in history. but it's always Pete Carroll's fault. Russell Wilson gets basically no blame for that.
Yeah, because I think the play call was worse than the actual execution of the play offensively, because that's why Butler gets so much credit, because it was such an insane defensive play.
Right.
That I think that the blame is less on Russell Wilson. Yes. Then you could just hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch, who looked like an unstoppable train at that point.
I mean, his name is Beast Mode.
Yes! And the run he had before, and then every time I rewatch that, and you see him in the backfield with the dark visor on and his hands on his knees, and you're like, if they give this guy the ball, he's going to run it all the way back
to
Seattle.
If you're a safety, or a linebacker, you got a little squirt. You're like,
yeah, don't give it to him.
This is going to be played forever if you run me over at the goal line.
You're like, let's pass it.
when we come back, our buddy Peter King from Football Morning in America will join us. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and we've got a trend.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
So on the Harbor One Hotline is Peter King of NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Peter is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs fast. Visit Zooty.com for details. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I missed last week's music, Dale.
I know. We'll get some more Doobie Brothers in. China Grove is one of the great rock and roll songs of all time. So
It really is.
We were just having this discussion before we spoke to you about Russell Wilson and where he stands in this whole thing. Do you think that Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the NFL, talent-wise?
No, I think Patrick Mahomes is. But I love Russell Wilson, always have. And I saw what Bill Belichick said about him today. I think that it's great to see Bill recognize, you know, how great he is. I think, Dale, one of the things that happens, you know, let's talk about the MVP vote for a second. I think one of the things that happens is that, so every year there's 50 MVP votes. And unlike in other sports, okay, because in other sports, you vote for multiple guys, maybe 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, whatever it is. And, you know, essentially you've got to pick out who you believe was the most valuable player in the NFL that year. Okay. And I think one of the problems that you come up with is that, which is why I have complained to the Associated Press every year. I'm one of the voters. And I've told them it's unfair to not recognize other people in this voting, because in Russell Wilson's 8 seasons in the NFL, there have been a total of 400 votes cast for most valuable player. And the knee-jerk reaction is to say, how in God's green earth does Russell Wilson never get an MVP vote? But, I mean, let's look at last year, where Russell Wilson had one of the best years far and away of his career. I looked it up this morning. He threw for over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Man, how does he not get recognized after a season like that? Well, I guess my point would be, you vote after the regular season. How can you not vote for Lamar Jackson? He set the record for most rushing yards ever by a quarterback in a season and led the NFL with 36 touchdown passes. His team went 14-2. He justifiably was a unanimous pick as the MVP. And I'm not saying it's exactly that cut and dried every year, but many years it is. So while I empathize and sympathize with people who will say it's ridiculous he's never got an MVP vote, and I have written time and again, it seems absurd. I'm pretty understanding of why exactly that has happened.
It's another year and another year that the Patriots need a wide receiver, Peter. And Allen Robinson this week had some stuff on his Twitter and Instagram, and then he had to talk about it. And clearly he's a little upset with what's going on in Chicago. Any chance Allen Robinson gets moved this season, and any chance he gets moved here?
Well, that's a good question. on the surface, the Bears absolutely unequivocally do not want to trade him and say they will not trade him. But Allen Robinson is one of these. It's funny, Mitchell Trubisky told me the other day after his game, I talked to him when he was on his way home from the airport after the game in Detroit. So they flew back, and on the plane on the way on the way home, I mean, Allen Robinson's a team guy. And so on the plane on the way home, they were watching the video of the game and the plays that happened. And, of course, Trubisky threw the winning touchdown pass, great throw. What was really weird about that play is that Allen Robinson, when the ball was in the air, raised his arms. He was on the other side of the field, raised his arms in triumph, touchdown, even though it wasn't him catching the ball. It was Anthony Miller. And he came to the sidelines, and he was incredibly enthusiastic, happy, everything like that. And so then this hubbub started on Monday. And so to me, I think they've got to make peace with Allen Robinson in Chicago. I think he's a top 20 NFL receiver. They've got to find a way to make peace with him. I don't know if they will, but if he were ever available, this is a guy who would be markedly better than Mohamed Sanu was at the trading deadline last year.
Obviously, after week one, the Patriots are a run first team. They did it successfully against an inferior opponent at home. Do you believe with Cam Newton and the weapons he has to work with, assuming they don't add somebody like Robinson or Dreamworld OBJ, is this a team that's capable of throwing the ball 35 or 40 times a game if it needs to try to win?
Well, I mean, I doubt it. You know, what is different between the skill group last year and this year? The difference is, you've added two third-round tight ends, and you've subtracted Mohamed Sanu. And Sanu didn't play well, obviously, last year, but that was what you used to try to improve your team, and he didn't improve your team. So what's different from last year? Julian Edelman is a year older. So you're asking me if consistently they can win throwing the ball? I doubt it. Which is why I think Cam Newton, I think Josh McDaniels realizes now, and Belichick, they both realize that just as we always depended on Tom Brady to get us out of a hole, and everything worked great until about the last month of Brady's last season as a Patriot, and the holes just became too many to patch and to spackle. I would doubt that if they have to become, you know, one of the six or eight throwingest teams in football to win consistently, I don't think they can.
Bill Belichick began his media session this morning thanking everyone for their thoughts on the passing of his mom, Jeanette, nearly 99 years old, as Bill said. But he also told the story of how many football games, hundreds of football games, he watched with his mom while his dad, Steve, was out doing his scouting thing and working in the football world.
Well, Dale, in 2004, I went to do a profile on Bill Belichick for Sports Illustrated after his second championship. And 16 years later, I have an incredibly vivid memory of that story and of that experience. And my vivid memory is not the time I spent with Belichick. And, you know, Belichick let me see his football library in his home at the time, which now is at the Naval Academy. And so that's not my vivid memory. My vivid memory is tiny Jeanette Belichick at 82 years old, you know, telling me Bill stories in the living room for maybe an hour and a half. And Dale, I walked into the house and I asked if I might be able to see Bill's room. Okay. And she said, oh, I don't know. And I didn't push it. She was clearly uncomfortable with it. So I wasn't going to bring it up again. And I didn't bring it up again. And after about an hour and a half, I was getting ready to leave, and she looked at me and she goes, "Would you like to see Bill's room?" And I said, "Well, yeah, yes, I would." And so she and Steve at the time, who obviously was there as well, showed me Bill's room. But what was so interesting about that trip to me is that everybody looks at Bill Belichick and says, Steve Belichick is the reason why Bill Belichick is the great coach and one of the all-time great people in the sport of football in terms of being a competitor and figuring out how to beat teams and all that. But I have to say that I left that day, and that experience led me to believe that Steve and Jeanette Belichick were equal partners in the care and feeding and development of Bill Belichick, because she was so consumed with Bill being an educated person and a well-rounded person. There were many nights at the kitchen table when she was cooking dinner and they were waiting for Steve to come home from the Naval Academy, that he would read aloud his assignment, you know, his reading assignment from school. And that lasted for years. And so her love of education, her love of reading, her love of learning is as big a part of what makes Bill Belichick great as his knowledge and acumen in football, in my opinion.
Peter, what was your biggest takeaway from Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski's debut at Tampa?
I had two of them. Number one, that game occurred exactly 1 month after Tom Brady got in a huddle for the first time with his new team. And the NFL, for the first game of Tom Brady's post-Patriots life, sent his new team to the team with the most continuity in the NFC, to the team that, to many people, is the favorite to win the NFC, and is clearly the team in that division that is the toughest team, you know, in that division. So that was Tom Brady's debut. And so having, you know, and so, you know, clearly that was not a good situation for the Bucks to walk into in Brady's first game. Now, having said that, the throw to Mike Evans that, you know, that either Evans turned the wrong way or Brady misread the route or whatever, that's understandable. That happens in the best of families. But the worrisome throw that Brady made was the Janoris Jenkins pick six. It was late and it was too soft. And that's the kind of throw that will feed into everybody who says, yeah, you know, Brady, that's sign of him being 43. But I'll just say this. I mean, I think it is way too early to begin etching the football epitaph of Brady. The weapons there are too good. The scheme is too smart. And everybody is not going to be New Orleans in the Superdome every week.
Peter, while some are reacting that Brady may be done, the opposite's happening here in New England with Cam Newton. There's already discussions that they should re-sign Cam Newton. This could be a long-term thing between Belichick and Newton. Do you think there's a chance of that happening, or is this a one-and-done for the Patriots and Newton?
And it's just way too early to know. I mean, how can you know? It's why the worst thing in the world you can do is, after 1 week, make judgments and try to say, yep, that decides it. Cam Newton ran it 15 times effectively, and so now we got to sign him long term. I think you let him play 10 or 11 weeks. If it's going great, if it's a marriage made in heaven, you sign him, or you try to sign him. But I think it's just too early to know how that's going to work.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Peter.
See you. Peter King, Football Morning in America and NBC Sports. When we come back, we got a little fantasy football update. We got a little pick for tonight's Thursday night football game, Cincinnati at Cleveland. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
back to Dale and Keith with Andy Hart on WEEI.
Keith's gonna give you what you need to know. Talk about who you gotta start, who you gotta say, gotta let go. When you be like, whoop, whoop, you doing so good, gonna win your league. But you gotta listen to Rich Keith.
And Shine Time.
In the fantasy breeze. Rich Keith is playing like John Clayton up inside the huddle. And he's got an intimate knowledge of the fantasy game like he and Matthew Berry like to cuddle. If your team got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. Winston Wolf for this fantasy gauntlet. So pretty pleased with sugar on it. Check out the hook walk.
Shine.
Keith's gonna give you the info you desire. Who to claim from the waiver wire, so your lineup game is on fire. Put him on the board. Championship. You're definitely gonna win your league, but you gotta listen to Rich Keith.
And Shine Time.
Fan the fantasy.
Big question for me, Rich, is whether you and Matthew Berry do like to cuddle.
We sure do. When it comes down to fantasy, who's hot, who's not?
You the big spoon or the little spoon?
Me and Matt Berry.
They like to switch off.
Uh-huh. Sure, doesn't matter.
So
I'm versatile that way.
Let's help some folks in their fantasy leagues for this weekend.
Yes, Dale, here's the thing. It's after 1 week. People can overreact, right? You're 1-0, you're flying high, you're 0-1, you're down in the dumps, right? So it's a big week, but same thing can be said for certain players. Maybe a guy had a really good week. Is it sustainable? Maybe a guy had a really bad week. Chances he bounces back. So we have a little thing called Fool's Gold versus Who Will Rebound. We have a sharper name for that.
Who will rebound part the rolls
Rodman,
off the tongue.
The Dennis Rodman.
Bounce
of,
back.
Rodman
bounce
or back? Fool's Gold.
Rodman or Fool's Gold. That's the little game we're going to play. Like, let's start with the Fool's Gold, Shime. Give me somebody that you think had a monster week, but you certainly cannot rely on it.
The ultimate Fool's Gold player in all of fantasy history, Sammy Watkins.
Oh,
this guy has a massive week one. Every single season he catches. Last year he caught like 200 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, people are picking him up left and right.
Yeah, and then fell off the face of the earth. Yeah. Sammy Watkins is going to do the exact same thing this year. In Kansas City, it's three guys. It's Kelsey, it's Hill, and it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then, of course, Patrick Mahomes.
I will give you another wide receiver, and we actually played some of the audio yesterday because a new Carolina Panther this year, that'd be Robbie Anderson, who had a monster week one. He was concerned why there was a bear in the stands.
It's a fair concern.
Turns out it's a Panther.
Sir Purr.
That's what we call it. You call him that?
Well, that's dumbest nickname for a mascot on the planet.
We are going to have our mascot power rankings later on at some point in the fall.
I need to be a part of that.
Okay. That's a Tuesday or a Thursday then. Boom.
Done.
But Robbie Anderson, monster week. But again, he had a 75-yard touchdown, which, again, with Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think that's going to happen all the time. He's not the number one receiver there, but you see the numbers. They jump out at you. He's too big play dependent to count on him, so I'm a no on Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, we told you last week that we were kind of out on DJ Moore, and so I expect that to kind of bounce back to the mean. Robbie Anderson's number will come down. Yes. DJ Moore's will go up.
Yes.
The other guy that I am out on as well, Fool's Gold completely, Russell Gage. The third receiver for the Atlanta Falcons.
Crazy numbers.
He had 9 for over 100 yards. But then again, so did Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, who we instructed you to play, by the way. And they would have paid off.
I like that. Well, we did pretty well. We did pretty well. Another guy I don't like, at least going forward, is Corey Davis, who was a super high pick in the real draft years ago. And shows flashes of it. He actually looked good against the Patriots. Was it a couple years ago where he had a couple of really nice plays? Like, oh, this guy's legit. But he's not. He's so inconsistent. You'll never know when to start him. So just because he had a good week one with Tannehill, A.J. Brown's their guy. They'll throw the tight ends and they'll run the crap out of it with Derrick Henry. So you cannot rely on Corey Davis. On the flip side, who are the Dennis Rodmans out there, Shime? Who's going to rebound after a bad week one?
You just gave us one. There.
See, Dennis Rodman had a lot of rebounds in his career. Yeah.
You just gave me one of them, Keith. A.J. Brown had kind of a mediocre week, only had 5 catches, 39 yards, did have 8 targets, so the target share was there. Just Ryan Tannehill did not attack down the field at all. J.J. Zachariasen posted a heat chart earlier, and Ryan Tannehill did not throw.
What the hell are you doing?
Shime's talking about heat charts.
Heat chart.
Heat chart.
Tannehill did not throw a single pass over 15 yards down the field Monday night, and a lot of the winning quarterbacks were not attacking down the field. I expect that to change as the season goes on. A.J. Brown only going
to
get better.
I was waiting for Andy Hart to say, where was Goran Dragic on the heat chart?
Not that I know anything about wind currents or meteorology or anything here.
No, I did notice that A.J. Brown's numbers the same as N'Keal Harry's. Cam Newton said N'Keal Harry had a good game, and you are using A.J. Brown as a bounce-back player from a bad game.
Correct.
Yes, we don't want N'Keal Harry.
And A.J. Brown didn't fumble.
Mike Williams to be much better. I think a lot of people anticipate Tom Brady to be a lot better.
Mike Evans.
What did I say? Mike Williams.
I got a name for you.
I got a name for you. Thank you. Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans will be a lot better. Bruce Arians even said he needs to be targeted at least 10 times the game.
It's like the old Randy ratio in Minnesota.
And he's right. Evans needs to be. He picked up a couple of pass interference penalties there. Did have a touchdown, but overall the numbers weren't very good. But Chris Godwin is in the concussion protocol combined with an easier opponent. We all think Tom Brady's going to have a bounce back game, so certainly Mike Evans will be there.
My guy is Saquon Barkley. This week he has the Chicago Bears. Last week he had 15 carries for 6 yards. They do.
He may retire like Barry. Yeah, he was negative.
They're going to ruin him.
Yes,
that may be true. But at the same time, Adrian Peterson just got signed by the Lions a week ago and then came in and had 90 yards against the Bears defense.
Yeah.
So I expect Saquon to bounce back. And on top of that, his rushing was not great. He did have 6 catches on 9 targets for 60 yards.
And like 3 hurdles.
So if you're telling me he's going to get 90 yards rushing and another 5 catches, Saquon definitely worth the play. Probably he'll get a touchdown in there too.
My last guy is T.Y. Hilton. Last week he only had 4 catches for 53 yards, but he was targeted 9 times. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time with he and Phillip Rivers, but I wouldn't run away from T.Y. Hilton. I think he's going to have some monster games this year.
Do you think you lads at any point this year will ever suggest playing a Patriots player for fantasy?
Maybe. I know Keith will if they trade for Odell Beckham.
I mean,
I'm talking about the team now.
Yeah, I mean, I played Cam Newton last week, and I'm playing him this week. If you're in a 12 or a 14-team league, Cam Newton's worth playing.
We actually got a question. Would you start Big Ben or Cam Newton? And I lean Cam Newton. Just because I think the rushing touchdown potential there is way
He's their best goal line back.
What about J.J. Taylor in a PPR?
Ooh, J.J. Taylor.
He's got hot stuff.
I hope
Ivan Fear said he's already earned more chances.
He does have hot stuff.
Teddy Bruschi told OMF, he tweeted out after he was on, we got to see more of J.J. Taylor.
That's what I said. More Taylor, less Sony.
I mean, James White, he's definitely playable. He's not exactly like you got to rush him out there. No, I know. I'll just say, PPR leagues
only. How about the defense?
Not this week. Some weeks, yes. I think matchup
you get them
based,
against the Jets, you definitely want to play the Patriots defense.
Matchup based, yeah.
But you are kind of talking yourself into taking a Patriot.
Yeah. That's what you're
doing. One other thing I would say is it's somewhat fool's gold. Don't get too enamored with the new Jaguars running back, Robinson.
Yeah.
He's just a Jag, as Andy would say, and just another guy.
Oh, a Jag on the Jag.
He's literally a Jag.
A Jag on the Jag.
Figuratively
just another
jag.
Guy on
Double
the Jaguars.
Jag. Double Jag.
The players worst. You should be looking at on the Jaguars are the receivers. DJ Chark. LaVishka Chenault.
What about the perfect quarterback?
Gardner Minshew. You take Gardner Minshew?
I mean, if you need to stream a quarterback, he's not a bad play. Not this week against the Titans. I wouldn't do it this week. But in future weeks against bad teams and bad defenses.
All right, that's all of our fantasy picks, right?
Yes.
We've got a little gambling sprinkle here for Thursday Night Football, and I fear that many people will look at tonight's game and be caught by recency bias again. Where Joe Burrow and Cincinnati looked really good last week. Unfortunately, Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns didn't look so good last week. Is that going to play into, because Cleveland is favored by 6?
Yeah, Cleveland's at home. They're 6-point favorites. So it's the 0-1 Bengals, 0-1 Browns. And if you want to talk about Thursday Night Football not being like must-see TV, the example you would use is, they got the Browns and the Bengals playing on Thursday night.
Well, I told you, I read the NFL promotional release, and like the second sentence was, the NFL's 2 teams that play in Ohio, and I was like, that's a selling point?
That's not a great selling point. You do have 2 recent number 1 overall pick quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So I would maybe go with that a little bit more. Now, Dale, as you know, Shime has been picking games really, really well when there weren't actual real games to be played. He had a great record. The first weekend in the NFL came.
Ooh.
It was Fitzy's money. He lit a match to it. It wasn't great.
Ugh.
So before we get his pick and all of our picks for tonight's game, I think Shime needs a little bit of motivation, and that's why I want to bring in friend of the show and Colts owner, Jim Irsay.
Oh, nice.
To be there in mind, spirit, and body, and to fire up and to know it's a long season. To know that this game, and only this game, against a great team, against the Vikings, which is always a tough fight, we will be there, and we need you there, loud and proud, believing we will come out victorious.
This moron is standing in front of
what
a bench
is he
press.
Doing?
He has a weight belt on. He has, it looks like 315 pounds getting ready to bench, and he's standing behind it.
You think he's actually going to bench it?
No.
I doubt it.
Although he is
in decent shape. He looks like he lifts, but
you don't need a belt to bench.
No,
you don't really need a belt
if you arch. If you arch, if you do one of those big old school arches when you
that's not going to get it done at all.
No.
So is that a little bit of motivation for you there, Sean?
I feel very motivated.
A winner in tonight's game?
I probably would have felt more motivated with the Coach Yost speech from Remember the Titans, but
yes,
alas, this will do.
More.
So don't do you like? Shouldn't we be playing that particular piece of audio for Fitzy? I mean, he's the one who actually got it.
But he doesn't have a say.
No,
he just kind of goes with
the investor and the crazy genius.
Right. You should probably play Herb Brooks.
He's the investor.
9 times out of 10, I lose this bet, but not tonight.
So it is a 6-point spread. The over-under, I have it at 43.5.
That is correct.
Either of those jump out at you, Sean?
So I looked at this, and I
love
didn't
when he does
feel...
Big sigh.
He pauses. You have a gambling problem.
I didn't feel super confident in either of these spots.
Oh, boy.
Were you confident in the podcast picks?
All right, Andy.
No, come on.
We got a radio show here.
Let him pick.
Sorry. This is a gambling expert. He knows what he's doing.
I lean Bengals getting 6 points just because I feel like it's going to be a low-scoring affair of kinds, but I did find a bet that I really, really like tonight.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually a player prop.
Oh, I love a player prop.
So a great player prop for tonight. Kareem Hunt had a great week one. I expect that to carry over into week two. I think Stefanski really likes Kareem Hunt, the ability to catch and run. Kareem Hunt's over-under right now for rushing yards is 41.5.
Oh, over.
He had 70 last week.
Yeah, over.
I expect it to go over.
Oh, there you
go. Give me the over 41.5 rush yards for Kareem Hunt.
All we want is a winner.
So you're still afraid to pick real games. Yeah. You got to stick to the
I know.
Stuff.
I just
He's
need
tippy-toeing
to.
Tippy toeing here around
Andy,
this player.
As a gambler, you learn these things. When you're cold, you gotta just stop everything. You gotta go take a shower, get a massage, do something.
Hot shower?
Hot shower. You got to relax the mind, relax the body, get a good night's sleep.
Enough.
And then readdress it at a later
time. Enough.
Making me
so
uncomfortable.
This is what we need as a Patriots fan. We need the Bengals to win. Send the Browns to 0-2. Odell Beckham demands out of there, and then you get him. Because you won't learn that the Browns are good, but you could learn that they're really bad. If they win tonight, fine. They're 1-1. They beat the worst team in the division and lost to the best team in the division. It's still sort of we don't know what they are. But if they lose at home to the Bengals, I mean, Odell's going to be... calling up his agent, calling up Slim Danger, the whole works.
And the Bengals should be 1-0. Joe Burrow looked pretty good in week one.
He's back to they should be. I mean, look, he played
really
well.
I'm not saying for my bet. I'm just saying for their team in general. AJ Green got screwed on an OPI call
that has
never been OPI before in the world.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then Randy Bullock decided to pull his calf because he's the fattest kicker in football.
So I think Bengals +6 is the play.
I think it is.
I'd go strongly the other way.
Really?
Lay the points.
Oh.
This is a bounce back game for the Browns because it's a little Patriots-like where it kind of the games are very different from week one to week two.
Now, do the Bengals in primetime, does that carry over even though it's not Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton anymore?
Of course it does.
All right. In that case.
The Browns stinking carried over from
it's Joe Burrow. It doesn't carry over.
All five of their coaches in the last 3 years.
They stink no matter what.
It's Joe Burrow. It doesn't carry over anymore.
The 0-1.
I thought
it wasn't a primetime game.
I thought you didn't want to draft Joe Burrow.
No, I didn't
want
the
Bengals.
He
made a mistake.
I made a mistake and took Joe Burrow.
They had too many other holes, so you just pass on a franchise quarterback.
No, you trade it, and you get more picks, and then you get 2 at 5.
That's a great idea. Passing on franchise QBs is always the way to go.
But if you think Burrow's going to be a lot better than Tua, which
I don't necessarily think long-term that he will be.
He's having a hard time.
I'm having a hard time.
Finish strong tomorrow, though, Shymir. Have 4 more picks for the weekend.
I will
really dive in. I don't know if they're all player props or not, but it doesn't matter. You just need to find
it's
four
a great
winners.
Tease weekend,
couple coin tosses
sure.
thrown in there. Yeah. I'm going heads in the Jags game.
He's so scared right now.
Tails in the Vikings game because of the wind shift. Like, what?
All right, so we'll do our gambling segment tomorrow, but we
Fitzy
won't have
segment. Yeah.
Yeah, when Fitzy the
back.
Fitzy on suicide
if
watch.
If he's allowed to get back in. Yeah.
So, what we won't have tomorrow is we won't have Andy Hart. His opportunity now is to tell us how he likes the Patriots Sunday night in Seattle.
Not very much. I
don't think any of us will.
No, I think it's a hard
only
3.5-point
spread too.
Yeah,
I would have thought more than that.
It's up to 4.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It's still relatively small to me. Yeah. The respect they're getting, I don't know exactly what's going on there. Maybe you gambling experts can explain the line. I would lay the hell out of those points for the Seattle Seahawks.
Maybe they're
at
thinking
home.
It's not a true home field advantage because you don't have fans.
But they're truly a better team, aren't they? And they're at home.
Truly Lemonade.
I think this is the Belichick factor. That's what it is.
Maybe.
It's like home field advantage gets you 3 points. So does Bill Belichick.
I just think everybody's overreacting to what happened on opening day. You beat a team at home you're supposed to beat. Guess what? You're going on the road to lose to a team that you're supposed to lose to. Right? You're going to lose. You're 1-1. We are where we are. Let's start the season in week 3.
Yeah.
I'll say this. While we tempered our enthusiasm for the Patriots win against the Dolphins and Fitzmagic and all that stuff, if the Patriots find a way to pull this thing off on Sunday night, there will be no tempering enthusiasm.
Oh, parade.
Full speed ahead.
Oh, we're having a parade.
Keith's gift will be all over New England. All those puppets everywhere. All six states.
You won't be able to avoid it.
We will all want to give Cam Newton a lifetime contract if they pull this thing off this weekend.
And Wiggy will be insufferable. More insufferable.
Oh, okay. That's better. All right, Andy. Good to talk to you again, bud.
See ya.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Rich, you and I aren't going anywhere, though.
That's right.
We're going to hang right here. We're getting you ready for Red Sox action coming up in just a few minutes. We'll be back tomorrow with the regular show, but Red Sox baseball is coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.